The scripture text for today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter, and I'll be reading the eight verses. The good news of Jesus Christ, the message, begins here, following to the letter the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Watch closely. I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you, thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the roads smooth and straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life-changing that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit, tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. And as he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I am a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life." His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out. Amen. I really love it the way Gene Peterson, in his translation that I read from The Message, over and over again, when he talks about the effect that Jesus has on our life, says that Jesus changes us from the inside out. I think that so well says what potential for all of us to be transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, that God has a plan for all of us, that we would become like Jesus in the expression of our love and devotion to him, our desire to follow God and to do the will of God in the midst of our lives. It doesn't mean that we all become like one another. We remain like ourselves, our unique personality, but the life of Christ within us gives its expression through our unique personality. We become those special people of God that God uses to build his kingdom, to share his love with the world. But can you see that the focus is not so much on the things that we do, the external things? The focus is on our heart, the inner heart attitude that we have as Jesus becomes real to us and gives expression to God's love for us in our own life. We're changed from the inside out. And our view of the world is different as we look at the world through the eyes of the living Savior who is within us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, all of that may sound a bit like too much theology or too abstract in our thinking when we think about the idea of a spirit within us, a living Christ within us, being changed from the inside out. And as I thought about the effect of God's life on our life and what Jesus had in mind when we would become changed like that, I've been looking for ways that I could share with you of how God uses this new life that he gives us to share his love for the world. And I think that's especially important at this time of the year because the whole world around us is celebrating the birth of Christ. Now, they give expression to that in many different ways. Some of them are secular ways. You don't see much about the message of the gospel in some of the celebrations. But the idea of Christmas and the birth of Jesus is on the minds of all of our neighbors, all of our friends, all of the people that we work with. We're surrounded by various signs everywhere we go. And what I would like us to think about this morning is ways that God uses us to express his world around us. The other day, a very story about a filmmaker who wanted a film about homeless people. And he spent quite a bit of time up in New York City filming on the streets the lives of homeless people. And he invited a friend of his, who was a renowned music composer, to join him in this project and to be in charge of all the audio recordings they made when they were in the streets. The man that did the audio recording was enthralled by one particular individual, a homeless man. And he seemed to show up every time they were filming. And he liked to joke around with the film crew. He would take their hats and put them on his head and just be real jovial around them. He never said anything to them. But always, as he approached them, he was singing, very much to himself, but singing this simple little tune over and over and over again. The tune went, "Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet." And he was able to link those little lines together into a continuous song everywhere he went. And so every time you saw this guy coming, he had these words on his lips, "Jesus' blood never failed me yet." Well, when they were finished with the project, the audio portion of this man and a lot of this man's, the part that he played in the film, was on the cutting room to make a project. The fellow that was the audio, even though he's not a believer, he was appalled with the way this man sung. There was something captivating about it. And he felt compelled to put it to music and put it to an arrangement that it could be shared with the rest of the world, because as a musician, he was just so enthralled with it. And back in his office, which was in London, he was working one day on the project, and all of his other assistants and the people that worked with him were there as well, and he queued up this recording. It would just loop over and over and over again, this man singing this song, "Jesus' blood never failed me yet." And he was trying to figure how he could handle some sort of a way to compose it and to bring it to a way that they could record it and release it. And he got frustrated because he just couldn't see how he could do it, so he got up to go get some coffee. And he left it playing on his desk. And when he came back a few months later, he walked into the room and was amazed at what he saw. Everybody had stopped working. Nobody was talking. Several people were crying. Everybody in the room had been touched by God. And eventually the composer was, well, as he worked for years until he finally was able to put this in a record form and release it. A homeless man who, by all accounts, didn't have any sense, God was able to take that and him singing a little song and touch lives all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. And now that it's been released, Lord knows where else lives are being touched by a simple man singing a simple tune. And if God can do that through that old homeless man, what can he do for us? This last week, I had the occasion to go to another church to attend the funeral. The funeral was for the 10-year-old daughter of a friend of mine who had died of leukemia earlier in the week. And it was tragic, as you might expect. There's nothing that a parent fears worse than the loss of a child. One of the things that really touched me, though, is that as they celebrated the life of this young child, and the speaker was talking about some of the things that had happened in her life, and she had, a strange form of leukemia that caused her to go down to Shands Hospital in Gainesville and other places to get special treatment. And so, much like a 10-year-old might do, she got an autograph book, and she would get the people that would be attending her, doctors and nurses and other people that she would meet, to sign her little autograph book. one of the entries they read at the funeral. It was an entry by what had been her chief physician at Shands Hospital, a man who is known throughout the country as one of the most brilliant researchers into this disease we call leukemia. And he had stopped to visit with her one day and wrote in her book several lines talking about how he had seen such peace and such joy in the life of this little child that it had caused him to stop and rethink his life because he had been touched by the Spirit of Christ within her. If God can use a 10-year-old child dying of leukemia to touch such a wise physician with the love of God, what can we do? This last week, I was trying to reach a friend of mine, Eddie. He's a pastor over in Madison County of two churches. And there's a meeting that he and I are going to be attending in January down in Leesburg, and I just called to make arrangements with Eddie for our travel plans. And I called the house and talked to his wife, Nancy, and Eddie wasn't there. I said, well, where is Eddie? He said, well, he's in Tallahassee. So what is he doing in Tallahassee? Well, he teaches a Bible study at the Department of Motor Vehicles every Wednesday. I said, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Eddie's over in Madison County, two counties away from us, yet he's coming out every Wednesday to a state bill to teach a Bible study, help understand what's going on here. Well, as it turned out, it was a first church, one of the churches where he's the pastor, who had worked at that agency. Just in sharing with Eddie about what they felt, it developed that there were some people that would like to have a Bible study, but they needed a teacher. And she asked if he would be willing to do it. And he said yes. I've got a good friend of mine that's an executive in that agency, and I talked to him toward the end of the week and mentioned that to him, and he said, oh, yes. He said, this class is known throughout the agency, and they have a pretty good turnout, you know, 12 or 15 that come once a week. And it turned out that Wednesdays wasn't a good day for a lot of them, so they started another class that meets on Tuesdays, and it also has good attendance. And here the love of God is being shed because a person, just a worker, a clerk in an office, had a thought, had an idea, heard God calling her name, and said something to somebody and opened it up as an opportunity for people to come together and to share the gospel. Well, I think you can see where we can go from here, can't you? What I would like all of you to ask yourself as we go through this Christmas season and this Advent season when we're celebrating that Christ has come to us, God has come to us in bodily form, calling Jesus. And we're looking forward to the time when He'll come again. We all can live in His kingdom. In the meantime, while we're waiting for Him coming again, we have but one objective. And that is to share God's love at every opportunity, especially for those people for whom God is a stranger. They don't know God's love. They don't know His grace. We've heard the call of John the Baptist. We've heard the call of Paul telling us that God wants our lives to be transformed from the inside out. We can share this true love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. An old man living on the streets singing a simple song has touched lives. A little girl, tragically gone at the age of 10, nevertheless touched a lot of lives because of her faith in Jesus and her willingness to share that. And she told some high and mighty doctor about Jesus, and it touched his life. A simple woman in a church hears God calling her, and it leads to the formation of a Bible study in a state office building. What can you do? What can you do in this coming week to share Jesus with your family, your friends, your neighbors? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to this place, at this time, because we want to celebrate your goodness, because we want to celebrate your faithfulness. And Father, we know that it brings great pleasure to you when your children come together in unity to express our love, our devotion to you. Father, I also know that it brings you great pleasure when we take the expressions of our love and devotion beyond all, into the malls, our homes, into our workplaces, where a little hand, a soft word, a smile, we can share your love to a hurting world. Father, my prayer for myself and for all my friends here today, my prayer is just that we would hear your voice calling us by name throughout this coming week as you lead us into opportunities to share with somebody else that Jesus is our Lord. Our faith is in Jesus. Grant us grace to be faithful unto you, O Lord, I pray. Amen.